Well, good morning. It is good to be together here September 1st. September 1st. So let me invite you to turn to Deuteronomy 33. If you're grabbing a Pew Bible, page 150. The words will be on the screen behind me as we now come to the conclusion of what is the Jesus backstory, the backstory that is the Torah being the first five books of our Bibles. Jesus being the fulfillment of the whole of the Torah. And with that today, we come to Parsha Vezot HaBerha. Again, the Torah, one last time, divided into 54 Parshiot. And today we come to what is now the final Parsha. Kind of bittersweet. A little bittersweet for me. 54 Parshiot, and today we come to number 54 of the 54. Deuteronomy 33:1, Parsha Vezot HaBerha. 33:1, it says, we read, Vezot HaBerha, translated, and this is the blessing. So Vezot HaBerha, Asher Berach Moshe Ish HaElohim, that Moses, the man of God. And then in our translation, in the NIV at least, it translates pronounced. Moses, the man of God, pronounced. That's actually from the Hebrew word Berach, which is the word blessed or blessed. And so we have here, this is the blessing. We could say that Moses, the man of God, blessed. And then it goes on, et b'nei Yisrael, lifnei moto, on the children of Israel before his death. And so one way to maybe translate this, because the focus really is on blessing, would be to translate this, and this is the blessing wherein Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel. And it says before his death. And then from there, the Parsha does just that, recounting the blessings of Moses given to the 12 tribes of Israel, again, as it says, before his death. And what is really an echo from the blessings of Jacob, Genesis 49, Parsha Vayehi, Genesis 49, an echo of the blessings of Jacob, given to his 12 sons right just prior to his death. And all of that is then echoed all down through the ages, all the way down to the very life and teachings of Jesus, most notably in what we know as the Beatitudes, what are considered to be Jesus' most significant teachings. The Beatitudes, this list of blessings, that is really at the very heart and center, and we can think last week, is really at the very heart and center of the activity of heaven. Think last week, the activity of heaven that is here and now on earth. Which is where I want to focus our time as we head into the fall, to travel through the blessings of Jesus, in a word, the Beatitudes. Not today, and probably not for about a month, but here sometime in the fall, I want us to step in, flow out of the Torah here, flow out of the Parshiot and into the Beatitudes, the blessings of Jesus. But for today, I want to note here the blessings given by Moses. It says we read first to Reuben, blessed with life and increase. We read that Judah is blessed with strength in battle. Levi, blessed with skill by the work of his hands. This is a summary, by the way. For Benjamin, it's a blessing of security. For Joseph, it's the blessing of prosperous land. And then we get Zebulun, Issachar, Gad, Dan, Naphtali, Asher. It goes on and on, blessing upon blessing. Again, these blessings echoing the blessings of Jacob. And in the same way, then, as Rabbi Alex Israel notes, this is not for blessing. This is not for blessing, nor is it for moral correction, nor to tell the future. It is to explain and inform the community. It is to explain and inform the community. From Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz, Moses assigns and empowers each tribe with its individual role, and yet, although he, Moses, relates to the existing units that are still based on the tribal division, he has before him another significant structure, the people of Israel. Indeed, a considerable part of the blessing of Moses, both its beginning and its end, relates not at all to individual tribes, but to the people of Israel as a nation. This approach, adds Rabbi Israel, stresses unity. But this unity is not a unity through conformity and uniformity. It is the unique nature of each tribe which will build a stronger Israel. Which sounds really good, and yet I think no doubt we are aware that is not always the case. How often our uniqueness, right, our unique nature, our differences can often, so often lead to division. This was true in the early church, the earliest followers of Jesus, in all of their uniqueness, really didn't see eye to eye. We get a kind of a case study. The opening of Paul's letter to those in Corinth captures this for us. In fact, the whole of the letter really is Paul addressing all the sorts of ways that we go sideways, all the sorts of ways that we are at odds with one another. And so here is Paul. We could say Paul speaking in the spirit of Vezot HaBerha. From chapter 1 and verse 10, I, Paul, appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. So to dig in for just a moment, to kind of parse out some of this, Paul writes here, first off, note that he writes schismata. It's where we get our word schisms. Here it's translated as divisions. It can mean or be rendered as rips and tears. And then along with that, we get Paul, he writes katartizo, which is translated here as perfectly united. It's interesting, in the Gospel of Mark, James and John are out on their boat and they're doing some fishing, and we read there katartizo to describe the restoring and the mending of their fishing nets. And in a similar way then here, it's used relationally, right? It's that same idea of restoring, of knitting together, of mending. And so we have, on the one hand, we have ripping, we have tearing apart, we have division, and then with it, we have restoring, knitting together, and mending. And Paul, he steps into that, right? Recognizing that yes, we will have disagreements, right? Yes, in all of our uniqueness, in all of our unique natures, we will not always see eye to eye. In the words of Rabbi Steinseltz, right, Vesot HaBerha, God assigns and empowers each, albeit, he says, differently. And so the point being, yes, we will have differing thoughts, different opinions, right? We will come with different ideas and viewpoints and perspectives. And into that space, Paul says what? He says, Paul says, be perfectly united. In other words, be knit together. Right? When you don't see eye to eye, mend and restore that relationship. Mend the tears. And then Paul goes on, he drills down on some of the details. He continues, my brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have indicated to me that there are quarrels, right? There's conflict, there's dispute, there's disagreements among you. And then he digs down a little bit deeper, verse 12. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Paul, another I follow Apollos, another I follow Cephas or Peter, still another I follow Christ. Now there's little to nothing that we know about Chloe and these informants from her household. It is believed that she was a widow, that she was a woman of wealth, that she conducted business both in Ephesus, where Paul is writing from, and also then in Corinth. And at this particular time, at this point, there are some in her household, meaning some who are connected to her house, maybe most likely related to some of her business. And this contingent has gone to Ephesus to do some business, and while there, they have met up with Paul, and they're sharing with Paul some of the scoop on what's happening back in Corinth. And some are saying, they tell him, some are saying, I follow Paul, which can be translated, I belong to Paul, or kind of Paul's my guy. It carries this idea of loyalty. They're loyal to Paul, most likely because he was the founder of the church in Corinth. We get here, others are saying, I follow Apollos. Apollos, he was from Alexandria in Egypt, kind of the intellectual center of the world. And so he is well-educated, he is eloquent, stylish, a good speaker, a gifted speaker. He would be the one that has what we think of as charisma, right? His style and charisma. Still others, it says, I follow Cephas, meaning Peter, and although we don't have real details on this, it's believed that he, along with his wife, spent a considerable amount of time in Corinth, where there is also a pretty significant population of Jews. And so it's believed that these Jews were elevating Peter, probably on divisions of, or related to ethnicity. And then we read also that others are saying, I follow Christ. And so you have this community dividing along lines of loyalty. From the scholar Ben Witherington, there seem to have been attempts at one-upmanship involving boasting about one's affiliation with Paul, Apollos, and others. Paul characterizes such quarrels as nonsense and infantile. Like Moses, right, in the words of Rabbi Israel, we could say Paul stresses unity, right? Not a unity through conformity and uniformity. It is the unique nature, we could say here, of each person, which will build a stronger church. It's the uniqueness of each one in this room that will build a stronger church. The tragedy really is that where we once embraced differences, where we once embraced that uniqueness, where we once enjoyed the beauty and the joy of one another in all of our nuance, right, has now become the stuff, to use Paul's language, of conflict and dispute and division, right? Where the beauty and wonder of another's uniqueness now bleeds, we could say, into a toxic animosity of the other's differences. By way of example, and what has been voted as the greatest joke ever, I shared this a number of years ago, it so fits. I once saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. I said, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, are you a Christian or a Jew? He said, a Christian. I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant. I said, me too. What denomination? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern Region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, die, heretic. And I pushed him off the bridge. But that's the reality, right? Like the greatest joke ever told, like right, we begin there. We begin with that sense of connection and unity and being at one with, right? Are you? Yes, me too, right? And yet, like what so often happens, we don't stay there. And what begins is, yes, me too, can sadly move to die heretic. Keeping in mind here, also going back to verse 10 just for a moment, notice how Paul begins here. He says, I appeal to you. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. That word appeal comes from parakaleo. And it carries this idea of longing, of coming alongside, close beside, in the presence of. It's this idea of intimacy, intimate sharing with another. And point being, in the midst of all the quarrels and the conflict and the discord and the disagreement and all of the stuff of life, all the ways that we don't see eye to eye, all the ways that we can be at odds with one another, right? Paul steps into that and he reminds us really of the centrality of relationships, the importance of relationships, right? Parakaleo, he says. Longing, close beside, intimate sharing. And in the same way then, as Rabbi Alex Israel notes, this is not for blessing. This is not for blessing, nor is it for moral correction, nor is it for moral correction, nor to tell the future. It is to explain and inform the community. Right? Reminding us really of the very deep importance of relationships together. In all of our uniqueness, in all of our differences, in all of our seeing things differently, viewpoints, perspectives, ideas, thoughts, opinions. Right? Reminding us that our uniqueness is to be a blessing to one another. And so with that in mind, as we wrap up this Jesus backstory, I want to invite us to sit in stillness for a bit together and to reflect and to think, to consider, do we value one another's uniqueness? Do we, will we value one another's uniqueness? We could ask, do we respect each other's distinctiveness? We could ask, do I view another's differences as a blessing? Do I view the differences of the other as a blessing? Maybe something to help me grow, to learn, to stretch. Do I embrace the differentness of those around me? Do I embrace the differentness of those around me? Do I come alongside those who are different from me? Do I come alongside those who are different from me? Because at some point, we are all different, right? We are each unique. Do we welcome other perspectives that we might build stronger? Do we welcome the perspective of the other in order that we might build stronger together? And then maybe to get a little practical, more practical perhaps, with whom is God inviting me to repair a dispute? With whom is God inviting me to mend a disagreement? So let's sit in stillness together. Vezot haberha, and this is the blessing.